Okay, well, let's turn, please, to Acts chapter 1. We're going to be coming back to Acts, so you might want to put a ribbon here. These records that we're going to look at this morning, I think, are familiar to all of us, but I love these records. It's such a big deal what happened and how it must have thrilled God's heart to have that life poured out. You know, that which had been, he'd been working towards since Genesis 3. It's just amazing. And we just get to read about it. It's pretty awesome. But Acts chapter 1, and I'd like to start in verse 4. This is Jesus Christ. He had been resurrected, had shown himself for 40 days in his resurrected body. And here he's with his men just prior to the ascension. In verse 4 it says, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, you've heard of me." 4, verse 5. "John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence." When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, "Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" And he said unto them, "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power or his own authority." And he said unto them, verse 8, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Boy, these verses are really loaded. In verse 5 we read, Jesus Christ instructing them that John truly baptized with what?
Water.
With water, but you're going to be baptized with
Holy Spirit.
There's a great section in Luke 3 where they were wondering if John was the Christ. They didn't know. Is he the Christ or is he not the Christ? And so John answers them. He says, "I come baptizing with water, but there's one coming after me whose shoes I am not even worthy." Isn't that something? He will baptize with Spirit, and then he says, and with
fire.
The baptism that we're concerned about here is that baptism with Spirit. And this is something that Jesus Christ taught. He taught much regarding that which he had come to do. He began preaching that kingdom of God. As a matter of fact, we're going to come back here. Go to John chapter 3. We're going to look at a few of these. Briefly anyway. John 3. It's challenging in this wind. verse 1. It says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot what? Can't see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" That's a weird question. Verse 5. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." That which is born of the flesh is what?
Flesh.
That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. See? Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews and really should have known these things. But Jesus Christ taught a man must be born again to enter into the kingdom of God. In chapter 4, we're going to look at another one. This is one of my favorite records. We're just going to look at it briefly, but this is the record of Jesus Christ going to the woman at the well. And we're going to pick it up in verse 13. The discussion had already started. And Jesus Christ began speaking regarding what it is he came to bring. And in verse 13 it says, "Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinks of this water shall what?
Thirst
again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst." This word for never, it's actually translated from three words. And it's never, ever for the ages. Or never, ever for eternity. Thirst again. Isn't that neat? "But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into what?
Everlasting
life." Isn't that something? What a great picture. The water that I will give. Now he's doing an illustration. The water that I will give is a well. Now a well is still water, isn't it? It's whatever. It's in a container or it's down in a hole. And then, but the illustration is, shall spring or gush up into what?
Everlasting
life. Isn't that beautiful? The woman said unto him, "Sir, give me this water." "Give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." Or verse 16, Jesus said unto her, "Go, call thy husband, and come hither." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said unto her, "Thou hast well said, you have no husband. For you've had five husbands. And he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest truly." The woman said unto him, "Sir, I perceive you're a prophet." Verse 20. "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." And Jesus said unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh," it's coming, "when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming. The hour cometh, and now is," or literally, "now is coming, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to what? To worship him." Isn't that something? And this is what he had been talking about, using the illustration of water. But he's talking about life, talking about spirit life. To Nicodemus, "Marvel not that I say unto you, a man must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit." Boy, there's a lot we can look at here. Let's go to John 6. John 6. And we're going to read a little bit of this. Oh, I'm looking at the wrong chapter. I'm trying to figure out where I'm going here. Oh, there we go. Verse 33 of John 6. Now, let's read 32. This is also a great record. But I'm just making the point of what Jesus Christ taught. This was something he consistently taught regarding that life that he came to bring. In 32, Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which comes down from heaven and gives what? Life unto the world." Then said they unto him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." See? And Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never," what?
"Hunger."
Never hunger. In John 4, he will never thirst. See? These are just beautiful illustrations. He will never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst. It's really something. But he's speaking regarding that life that he came to bring. Let's go back to Acts. In John 14, 15, 16, he speaks regarding the Comforter. And he teaches regarding that Comforter that he would send. He says, "I will pray the Father, and he will send another Comforter." Isn't that something? There were things that he wanted to teach them. He says, "But I can't do it now. But after the Comforter has come." See? And he's speaking regarding Spirit, that which he would give, that which would happen in the future. It was coming. And this is what he taught all through his ministry. Back to Acts. We're going to go to Acts 2. They had left. They were told to tarry in the city of Jerusalem. In Luke it says, you know what? Keep your finger here. We're coming back. I want to read you this one in Luke. Luke 24. Luke 24. Then we'll go back to Acts 1. Oh, this is just beautiful. Let's pick it up in... it's hard. Verse 44. It's another great record. But in verse 44, "And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures." Isn't that beautiful? Can you imagine Jesus Christ walking through the Scriptures, showing himself? And he opened their understanding. Verse 46, "And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with" what?
Great joy.
They just saw the Lord Jesus Christ ascend into heaven. They had had their understanding of the Scriptures opened up regarding the Christ. They were tripping on their way back to Jerusalem. And they were told to tarry, to wait. In Acts 1, let's read Acts 1, then we'll go to Acts 2. I want to finish this up because this is just great. Acts chapter 1. And we're going to pick it up in... we read down to verse 8. Let's pick it up in verse 9. "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up." Can you imagine? imagine? He's going up in a cloud, and these men, steadfastly, they're like this. And then it says, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? I love that. I mean, I understand why they were standing gazing up into heaven. I get it. But this angel was communicating something in a beautiful, almost matter-of-fact way. And that's what I love. Why stand you gazing up into heaven? He's going to come back in the same way. Isn't that something? It's like, he's coming back. And then a little bit read, they were filled with great joy, and they headed over to Jerusalem. Well, they did tarry. And 10 days later, we read in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them, unto these men, cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were filled with Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So, these men were the first to be born again. They were the first. It's really fantastic when you think about this. These men were the first members of what would later be revealed to be the body of Christ. Isn't that something? Part of that one new man. The first word spoken in this great administration of grace was speaking in tongues. That is significant. That is significant. It's a big deal. It's a huge deal to God. And that's what it was marked out with. And here they are, day of Pentecost, so you would have had tons of people there for this great feast, which we're going to read about in verse 5. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we man, every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes, Elamites, dwellers in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. They were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what does this mean? It's a great question. What does this mean? Then you got in the next verse, you got the mockers. Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. You know, you've got the mockers contrasted against those who said, what does this mean? They wanted to know. What's going on? What is this? Well, Peter's going to tell them. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. These are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is really remarkable. It's from Joel chapter 2. And this section that Peter is referring to and is declaring what it was and what it was referring to was preceded, when you read Joel chapter 2, as describing some things regarding the day of the Lord, which is yet future. So when you understand that, it's just so incredible what he speaks here regarding this. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. That day is come. That day of the Lord. And when you understand the justice of God, and that day of God, or that day of Jehovah rather, the day of the Lord, is when justice will be done. The word notable here is really something. It's from the Greek word, we get epiphany from it. You know what epiphany is? It's like an aha moment. Oh, got it. That's what the day of the Lord's going to be. Oh, got it. There is a God. That's right. But for right now, is this great age of grace. Isn't that something? Where all, and we're going to read it, all who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ are saved, delivered. You know what you're saved from? Wrath. You're saved from the day of the Lord. That's right. That's what it says in Thessalonians. You're saved from wrath. It says it in Romans. Those are great truths. Those are just simply great truths. You know, I was reading the record in Acts 10 when Cornelius, Acts 11 rather, where Peter is reiterating what had happened. When Cornelius heard the word of God, they were the first Gentiles to get born again. Really something. But the angel, and it never hit me like that before. The angel says to Cornelius, send men to the city of Joppa. And Peter, a man named Peter, and he will give you words that will save you and your house. And I thought of the angels that pulled Lot out in Sodom and Gomorrah. I just had never thought about that before. But this angel, just as clear and as a matter of fact as when the angel said to those men, what you looking up for? He's coming back. He's coming back. Isn't that something? And you and I, when Jesus Christ comes back, we're going to come back with him. That's what the word declares. It's just so beautiful. It's so beautiful what we're saved from and how precious this new birth is. How precious it is what we have. This is real. The life that we have born within is real. You know, people do a lot of things with Christianity. They do a lot of things with the Word of God. But the truth is that we have the life of God born within. And there's a day coming when we're going to be gathered together by our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? You know, it's just so amazing. And that's what Peter's going to declare. See, there were many that day. What does this mean? See? And so Peter's laying it out. We're not going to read all of this, but let's read a little further. Verse 22, you men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, or the birth pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. Isn't that something? For David, he spoke concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he's on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh shall rest or camp in hope. Because you will not leave my soul in the word hell is the word for grave. You will not leave my soul in the grave. Neither will you suffer or allow your Holy One to see corruption. Referring to Jesus Christ. See, death could not hold him. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is dead and he's buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell or the grave, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. You know, he had said to them that you'll be witnesses unto me. In Acts chapter 5, it says that they were witnesses of his resurrection and by Holy Spirit. It's by Holy Spirit that we are witnesses of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, man, when I first learned that, it set me on my butt. It really did. You know, because I just wanted to know. And when I knew that Jesus Christ, he lived. He really did. He got up. God got him up from the dead. And he's really coming back. Isn't that something? I'm a witness of that. So are you. All who are born again and have God's Spirit born with you are a witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what else? That means you can testify truthfully. Thus saith the Lord. That he's coming back. The word of God is true. Isn't that something? It's just awesome. I don't remember where I left off. But let's pick it up. Let's pick it up in 36. Therefore, Peter's still speaking, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. See, God did that. God made him Lord. He is Lord. You know, you've heard me say this many times, and sometimes, and I understand it, I'm not railing on it, it's fine. But people say, make Jesus Christ your Lord. Really, all you're doing is agreeing with God. God already made him Lord. He is Lord. Whether I believe it or not, he's Lord. Right. And Colossians reveals that the day will come when all will know he's Lord. All will acknowledge him as Lord. We get to do it now. Isn't that cool? And when they heard this, verse 37, they were pricked in their heart. And that's an idiom. And it means it pierced their heart. They were emotional. You know, I tell you, many of these here could very well have been among those who weeks earlier were among that crowd that said crucify him. Isn't that something? They could have been among those people who said, let his blood be upon us and our children. You know, Peter says, the heart of God, the free gift, the promise is unto you and to your children. That's what God does. Isn't that something? What a God. So they heard, they were pierced in their heart. And then Peter says unto them, I should have just kept reading, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are where? Afar off, even as many the Lord our God shall call. Isn't that something? You know, there are those who believe, and that's fine. You know, that the gift of Holy Spirit, it passed with the apostles, or this and that passed with the apostles. Now really, it's as many as the Lord our God shall call. This promise is unto all that call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is to simply confess Him as Lord and believe that God raised Him from the dead. Isn't that beautiful? And you're saved. You're delivered. You belong to God, and you got His life born within. See? And that's what we celebrate. It's so awesome. The reality of what we have and the reality of what it is we have to look forward to. Isn't that cool? You know, we just got a great Heavenly Father. And you know, nobody knows. Nobody knows how long this time's going to be. But God calls it the last days. That's what He calls it. In Romans, I think He says the time is short. Right? Or it's high time in another place. It's high time. The time is drawing short. Roaring short. He's coming back. But boy, we get to be a part of it and we get to share it with others. It's incredible. So, happy birthday. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, I'm going to pray.